Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spark Radio Show, filled with strategies, possibilities, actions, resources, and knowledge that may be the spark of a better solution to ignite a positive change in your life. The number to call if you have questions for Melanie or any of our guests is area code 347-215-8390. Now, here's your host, Ms. Melanie.
Well, hello and welcome to or welcome back to Spark Radio. I am your host, Ms. Melanie. And as always, it is a pleasure to be with you, especially on this special night and time. It's Friday live. It is right before school is starting, at least here in Iowa. For our guest, her boy started school this week. And I'm excited to have as my guest Ms. Lynette Patterson, who is a life coach, a weight strategist, a lifelong learner, an entrepreneur, a social media maven, a master of systems in that she's always searching for new ways to make things work more effectively, more easily, and with less stress. She most recently earned certifications in hypnosis and neuro-linguistic programming. And I had the pleasure of finally meeting her after working with her for 2.5 years. We had a wonderful time together. So I'm very excited that we have tonight, as we said, Ms. Lynette Patterson. And we are going to offer you a number of sparks that you can use to have a more positive, less stressful start to your school year and increase the success both for your students and for yourself. Welcome, Lynette.
Hi, I'm so glad to be here. Thank you so much.
It is always a pleasure to have you as a guest because you always bring new insights and exciting opportunities for me to try with my son, as well as for our listeners to try with their own children. And you just experienced this week your three boys going back to school. Here in Iowa, in the United States, school starts anywhere from next week through the end of the month. So whether you're already in that process of getting those kids to school, or if you're just trying to figure out a better way because it didn't work so well last time, let's start with some things that people can do ahead of time that could help reduce some of the stress, some things that you do, for example, that can smooth that process about getting back into the groove of school.
Oh, yes. Boy, isn't it crazy, first, before we get into that, how quickly time has flown by. I cannot believe school is back in for us and that the summer basically just disappeared before our eyes. I don't know if that's what it feels like up there, but it certainly feels like that in my life. And my
kids does feel like that here, too.
Yeah, I keep calling it warp speed because I think that the time is just speeding up crazily. But my kids, they did start back. I've got a high schooler. I actually have three seniors, I guess you could say. I've got a senior in high school. He's 17. I've got an eighth grader, so he's basically the senior in his middle school. And then I've got a fifth grader who is the senior at his elementary school. So they're all top dogs this year, and then they'll all be freshmen next year. So it's really kind of interesting how it all works out. So I do have, you know, three boys who are very individual, who have a lot of activities, and now school is back. So we've been officially in there for 2 days, and so far it's going really well. So let's start by you asking me what questions you have, and I'll see about answering them correctly for the best of to my ability.
Well, okay, so people have gotten into a summer routine, whatever that looks like, whether that's, you know, several small trips, whether it was daycare. Some people may have scheduled that last summer vacation prior to when school starts. And so we're having to do a shift from a summer routine into a back-to-school routine. What are some strategies to make that shift work more effectively?
Well, if you're not like us and have already jumped into the school year and you've got a little bit of time, the first thing that I would suggest and recommend to do is start looking at the bedtime schedule, because it becomes super easy to start letting our kids stay up later and later and later through the summertime. And then it's a really big adjustment for them to not only get up early but go to bed early. You know, they lay there for a while, they don't get good rest, and then they end up being tired. They're able to not absorb and learn as well as they could. You know, one of my friends here in Tennessee, I'll share with you a way not to do it. She had been letting her four boys just stay up however they wanted to, but then the night before school started, they all had to be in bed at 9 o'clock. Well, we can imagine the riot they had at their house. The 17-year-old, you know, lost his mind. He couldn't believe that he had to go to bed at 9 o'clock. And so being able to wean those hours back, even if you do it in 15-minute increments, you know, by the end of the week, if you do it 15 minutes a night, you're, you know, an hour and a half almost earlier to bed. So it doesn't feel like it's so abrupt. It doesn't feel like they're, you know, in mourning of their summer vacation. And it allows them to get that better rest so that they can get up earlier as well. So that's the very first thing to start looking at those schedules, what time they're going to bed now, what time the particular age group for your child. And Melanie probably have great suggestions, or we can provide some resources for parents if they're not sure, you know, their time, their particular age child should be in bed. But start looking at that right now before, you know, the clock ticks down and suddenly school's the next day.
I think that's a great idea, because I know my son is a late night kid. He's done the melatonin shift where he's moved two time zones west when it comes to sleeping, and so he's not tired, and then he sleeps till he wakes up. So that strategy of doing a little at a time will meet with less resistance in the process and won't be as such a shock. So that is a great strategy. And to talk to your kids about the advantages of working on that together, as opposed to it coming just from you as a parent. Lynette, do you find that talking with your kids about those kinds of changes is helpful?
I find it's very helpful. You know, anytime that you dictate to a child, I have found they're going to rebel as often and as hard as possible. However, if you make them part of the team, help them to understand, you know, the reasoning behind things. And you may have to dictate at the end, but they will at least understand that their input was welcome, that they're a human being, that they're an individual, and they're not just some project that you've popped out of yourself and now can boss around. Because a lot of kids feel that way. And then they rebel against everything that you say, everything that you want them to do. So making it a collaborative effort, helping them to understand, sharing the consequences and the rewards for, you know, acting in a certain way or being in a certain way, I think is extremely helpful.
And I will echo that. If we want to teach our children to question authority, not always follow commands. Again, this is age specific too, and my son is 12, will be going into 7th grade. So it's different if they're 5, although you can still explain things and give some choices. That's always good. And then when you have that opportunity to involve kids, it absolutely engages them in a very different way, and helping them to understand that process. So if we have those conversations around getting prepared when it comes to sleep, which is one very important piece of being prepared, let's also talk about that morning routine that can be so stressful for kids and parents alike. What are some ways or some some systems that parents might put in place, me included, that could smooth out that morning frustration time?
Well, I live my life by a checklist. One of my favorite books is The Checklist Manifesto, and it works in my life so incredibly well. To be able, you know, when we have baseball season, I have a checklist of what needs to go in the baseball bag. You know, when we have football season, I have a checklist. When we have vacations, I have a checklist. So I don't have to rely so much on my brain, and it just makes things so much less stressful. So I also create checklists for my kids. And I want to say something that's one of my most favorite quotes. Discipline creates freedom. When we are disciplined in our actions, when we are disciplined in our tasks, when we're disciplined in our day-to-day life, then we enjoy a different level of freedom than when we're scurrying around, losing things, can't remember stuff. And it makes our life a lot less stressful. So by one of the greatest gifts that you can give your children is to give them the gift of discipline, so that, not discipline as in spanking, but discipline as in understanding what goes next, putting their clothes away, you know, brushing their teeth so their teeth doesn't rot out. Those are the things that are giving them the freedom to become a less stressed adult. So checklists for children, because they're highly, highly visual, and even checklists for little kids. You know, maybe you're not putting words on there, but you're putting pictures. And every day, you know, laminate it. If they feel better, if you have a particular child that's very tactile and they do better seeing that red check mark or that mark go through that thing, then laminate your checklist so they can check all those things off. If your kid's just more visual and they just need to go through the list, that's perfectly fine too. But give them a checklist so that they can remember, brush their teeth, get their bath, put their shoes on, put it in the order that you'd like to see them get ready. And if you catch them staring off into space or doing or playing with a game, you simply ask, is that on your checklist? Oh, Mom. Okay, let's get back to the checklist. When your checklist is done, then you can do all this other stuff. And a lot of times I have found that my kids will actually rush through that checklist so that then they do have the freedom to play that game, stare into space, play with the cat or the dog or whatever it is that they want to do. But without that checklist, without that visual stimulation, it's less likely to occur unless you just, you know, have one of those children that are absolutely, you know, organized in their mind, and they will get things done without being asked. Does that make sense, Melanie?
That does make sense. And I have to say that when it comes to chores, I chuckle because my son has had a sticky note of chores on the door of his bedroom for years. And so it'll be like, well, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Really? Where's your list? and I think giving them that responsibility without micromanaging as they're older is good, because I know my son's at that age where, you know, brushing his teeth once or twice a week is good enough for him. Though I prefer it be done every day. And he's like, but I'm not getting cavities, Mom. So, you know, when he's not getting cavities, that makes it much harder for me. It's a natural consequence.
Right. That's hilarious. They will try to wiggle out of everything, and they're so incredibly smart, and they will find that one little hole in the plan and stick their finger in it and make it wider, because they're just good like that. But, yeah, being, you know, it's a great start, Melanie. Yeah, and remember that with discipline, there's also consequences. You know, if you're teaching your children that, you know, you're going to set these rules up, but then, you know, if they don't follow it, nothing's really going to happen, then they're going to go the road with least resistance. And they're simply not going to do it because they know that Mom's really just going to blow some hot air and really not take away or create an accountability that matters to that particular child. And you have to know your child. You have to understand what fires them up. You need to know what they're passionate about. You need to know what they are afraid of so that you can find that sweet spot of whatever the thing is for them, whether it's their video game, whether it's playtime with their friends, whether it's, you know, having to do chores, or however that ends up looking for you. You've got to follow through, or this entire system won't work at all.
Exactly. And so whether it's allowance or this summer my son took on the responsibility of mowing the lawn, and he chose the payment where we paid for gas so he would get paid less money versus him having to pay for gas because, that, you know, prices go up and down. And last week he missed the boulevard, that area between the sidewalk and the road out front. I don't know how he did it. And so I told him, I said, you know, I'm not paying you till it's done. What? Yeah, it's not done. There's still this strip out here. So he decided that he really wanted to have that money because he wanted to purchase a train. And so he went out and got it and finished it. I think, you know, so having that, got the lawnmower. I realized he didn't say that part. And then finished mowing. And he asked me to stay out and make sure that he didn't miss any. So I think sometimes that frustration as he gets done comes in and has to go back out before we check it, because he's still learning about all the places he forgets. But I agree that yes, having whatever those consequences are, and when we can have natural consequences teach, like having cavities, which is what I was hoping would teach, is good, because life is full of natural consequences. So when it's not dangerous, it's not life-threatening, when we can use those natural consequences or creating logical consequences, like you suggested, connected to the lack of follow-through or lack of performance. And again, if we can begin those systems in place prior to when school starts, like practicing that morning routine a couple weeks before, so if they haven't been as good about that in the summertime, that, okay, let's time you. How long is it going to take you to get this done? Because I know there are other kids like my son who like to sleep till the very last minute before they race through everything and get to school. So for him, he needs to know how long it takes for him to get everything, you know, the clothes, the wash the face, et cetera. And so let's talk about some things that kids can do for themselves to get ready for that morning if they're old enough to do things on their own. What are you, what's your experience or your system? What do those recommend or that's a bad sentence. Let's start over. What systems or recommendations do you have for ways to empower kids to take care of themselves and get themselves ready for getting out the door with as little stress as possible and on time?
Well, I have a couple of strategies that I've actually used and had good success with. I have one kid, my middle one, who is, I basically don't have to tell him to do anything. He gets his own alarm. He gets up when, and he wakes his brother up, goes, gets in the shower, out of the shower, dressed. He wants to be the first one dressed. He wants to be the first one that's eaten breakfast. He wants to be the first one with the shoes on, first one in the car, first one with the seatbelt on. He is just very competitive by nature. So with him, I really don't need to do anything. He is the easiest child ever when it comes to morning time routines. And then I have these two other boys, which are a bit more challenging. And last year, I came up with two different techniques, because with Griffin, my now 10-year-old, I was having so much trouble getting him motivated. He would get up out of bed easily, but then he would take a 15, 20-minute long shower. Then he would sit in front of the heater with a towel draped around him and fall asleep. And then, it took him 72 hours to get his shoes on. And then he ate slowly. So it just became this really long, dramatic process of trying to get him motivated. So I did a couple of different things, and both of them worked really well for him. The first was I bought him his own personal timer. And we did exactly what you were talking about that you were doing with Alex, and you time, how long does it take to take a shower? How long does it take to get dried off? How long does it take to get your clothes on? And you have a real good grasp of what that time frame is for that particular child. And then on his checklist, he had, you know, 7 minutes for shower or whatever that was. It wasn't that much, maybe 5 minutes for shower. And so he would set his timer before he got in the shower, and when it went off, he would get out. And he would set it again for how much time he had to get dried off and get dressed. And then he would set it again for how long he had to eat breakfast. And so that actually worked pretty well. And then another system that I tried, because I thought it would be kind of cool just to test it, is I made an audio. I used free Audacity software that you can download on your computer, and I used some music. I took those same time frames. So if it was 5 minutes for the shower, I had a music that went for 5 minutes, and then I would use my voice and record and say, 3 minutes left, 2 minutes left, 1 minute, time to get out of the shower, Griffin. And then, you know, a little bit of music, give him time to get out and say, okay, you have 5 minutes to get dressed. And so that he was able to follow along with the music and get through his day. And I know that sounds kind of maybe silly or maybe even simplistic, but it worked really, really well. So our mornings went from, Griffin, please do this. Griffin, are you ready yet? Come on, Griffin, let's go, Griffin. Let's do this, let's do that. Come on, go, Griffin! It went to, oh, Griffin's ready. Yay, let's go. And it was a beautiful thing, just beautiful. So that's timers, music. Those are ways in which the child, without your voice, you know, and you're becoming this nagging mom, can get ready on their own.
And that would be a beautiful thing.
It's a gorgeous thing.
Well, and I think it demonstrates the power of having patience in teaching the process or the system, as well as adapting it to the needs of each child, because they are different in terms of what they need and the kind of support systems that work for them. And sometimes we may have to shift as their age changes, or as the novelty wears off of something that is working, or they stop using it and fall back into an old habit, so we can catch that sooner. And then, too, sometimes I think, in the case of my son who can walk to school, I used to, the closer time it got for me to leave and he wasn't ready to leave and I'm stressing out, and, you know, it finally got to be, you know what, I'm coming in one time to wake you up, one time to say goodbye. And that goodbye could sometimes be, well, I hope you make it to school on time, I'm leaving, it's 8 o'clock. And he had to be at school at 8:10. You know, that natural consequence of getting a tardy, and after so many tardies, then you end up with an in-school suspension and that kind of thing. Again, you have to know your child. My hope was that it wouldn't go that far. But that
some of them don't care.
Well, exactly. Then you got to come up with another one. Because there are states where, you know, when your child doesn't get to school, they'll come after you as a parent. Yeah. It defeats the purpose of using natural consequences. Like if you miss the bus, you don't go to school because there's nobody here to drive you, so you need to get yourself up and on that bus. And what are the consequences in addition to being in school that are going to happen if you miss the bus? So sometimes we have to escalate that, the consequences. But once I took my drama out of it, it made a difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I can see where that would happen. And you have to think about, you know, when you were talking about consequences, you know, we as a parent, we think, oh, we missed a day of school. That's a horrible, terrible thing. And they're going, I missed a day of school. I stayed home and I played video games and I watched cartoons. And, yeah, I had a bunch of homework, but you know what? That's no big deal. I might do that again next week. So, you know, even the in-school suspension, they sit at a desk and they read. So they don't have to do, you know, they do some work, they do a little bit of that, but it's really not a huge consequence in the eyes of a 10-year-old or a 12-year-old or a 16-year-old. So I think a lot of times we expect children and their brains to react the same way our brains react to these types of things, and they just don't. They just don't. They react to getting their video games taken away. They react to getting their phone taken away or their car keys taken away, their friends taken away. Those are the things that matter to our kids. So we've got to, again, know your child. No, don't assume that you know your child. Don't assume that your child reacts the way that you would react, because they're a child and they're a different human being than you.
Exactly. And I think, again, figuring out, is it, you know, how important is it that they're there on time because they're embarrassed? What's the emotional level? Or, you know, if grades, that grade performance is part of the consequence, and that in-school suspension means you get zero credit for anything completed that day. And talking through what that really means, and what that extra homework, which you had time in school to do, now is piled up and stressing you out. So I think of that involvement, absolutely, and finding out what's important to them and asking them what they think the consequence should be.
Right, right. And don't be surprised if they go, well, I should miss 3 minutes of TV. You know, you got to, again, they're gonna go the path of least resistance. So, you know, it's time to step up and be the parent. Too often parents, you know, want to keep everything calm and keep everything good, when, you know, we have to really put those consequences in action, especially when you want to create that stress-free life. You know, if we let our little kids throw temper tantrums their entire life, that's pretty stressful. But we allow our kids to, you know, they learn how to treat us by the way we allow them to treat us. And the good news to that is that we can retrain them how to treat us and retrain them how to be organized, how to be more respectful. But you have to make it a very conscientious decision that you're going to do those things.
Yes. And to remember the difference between your issues and your drama, and to listen to what's happening with your child. Because on that, you hit a really good point about brains being different, and the way that we think and process as adults is very different than kids, because that prefrontal cortex is not mature. So to think through consequences in advance takes a structured system to teach them how to do that. It doesn't happen naturally for kids. So when parents say, "What were you thinking?" they go, "I don't know," because they really don't know. My dad would say, "Whatever you say, don't say I don't know." What?
But I really don't know.
Right. And it was because they don't, it wasn't a conscious process. So whether you come up with a stoplight system, but when they're going to make a choice of, okay, I'm going to make a decision, I need to have a yellow light to slow me down a minute, then I'm going to red light stop, what could happen if I choose A? What could happen if I choose B? And some of those conversations when they're younger are good to have with somebody else, and then they've got that red, you know, yellow, red, green light, visual as they're going through that process. I decide to lay in bed. What might happen? And, again, to speak our drama out of it. You know, what are they going to think of me if you go to school wearing clothes that don't match? What are they going to think of this parent who sent you to school without breakfast? And, you know, it's really not about us as parents so much as it is what lessons are our children learning. And sometimes we create our own, what we refer to as mama drama.
Yep.
So if I can get my mama drama out and really focus on what's going on with Alex, what is he learning, and how is he improving in the situation. And I think sometimes it's hearing somebody say, it's okay that, you know what, if their clothes don't match, it's not a crisis. If they slept in their clothes and they're wearing them to school, is it a crisis or not? You know, if they can smell them coming down the block, that's one thing. Otherwise, really, is it an issue? So I think there's, we've all heard that phrase, pick your battles, as our kids get older. Yeah. And when it comes to school and success in this process of transitioning back to school, you know, figure out what are those really important battles or those really important lessons that you want to focus on that you're going to have those serious consequences for, and what are really more about their choices, and that's okay. So where do they have options? Where is it as a parent that you're putting in those guidelines, boundaries, and consequences?
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's just, that is so important. You know, don't look at back to school as a, okay, it's time to go back to school. Think about it at, you know, with, you know, what life lessons can I help my child with so that they can grow into productive adults that are happy, that can interact well with others, that aren't, you know, on medication for anxiety and stress. How can I make this, you know, time of the year a wonderful experience and a wonderful learning lesson for these little people that I love so much? You know, discipline creates freedom. You know, I want to say it again because it's so true in our lives. And we could probably go on and on and on and on and on. But I wanted to remind me, if you're not ready for us to move on to some more, like, organizational type tips, because we're on a really great subject here, but remind me to talk later about, like, clothes and food and those kinds of things, Melanie.
Well, no, actually, I was ready to make that transition because as a health coach, I absolutely want to hit the nutrition. So let's go ahead and shift into, let's talk about the clothes first, and then we'll move into the food and nutrition.
Okay, perfect. You know, it's really easy to say to get your clothes, you know, get your kids' clothes ready the night before. And for a lot of people, that would work really well. You know, if your kids aren't real attached to what they're wearing, if they're okay with you picking it out, if they really don't care, then that works really well. I happen to have one child that could care less. I could pick, you know, throw things at him. He would put them on and wouldn't even look. I've got another child who wants to dress based on his mood. So if he's in a good mood, he wants to wear something bright. But we don't know the night before how he's going to wake up. He sounds like a girl, but he really isn't, I promise. And he wants to be able to pick his things out in the morning, which can create more stress. So one of the systems that we've put in place here in my house is instead of just getting the clothes together at night, on the weekend we pair outfits together so that, you know, whenever they wake up and they decide they want to wear one color versus another, everything is still together. When I say everything, I mean everything. The shirt, the shorts, the underwear, and the socks. They're together, stacked up, so they basically just choose it, pull everything out, and they're ready to go. That's one of the simplest things that I found. And it really doesn't take that much time on the weekend. I spend maybe half an hour, probably not even that long, organizing three kids' clothes so that they're ready for 5 days to just grab and go. So that's just an organizational tip that I wanted to offer out there because it works really, really well in my house. Now, if you have girls, you could take it a step further and put their hair accessories per outfit. You could put jewelry, you know, depending on their age and what they're wearing per outfit. But again, it becomes that grab and go so that you can, you know, just get out, go, and not be so stressed. So that's a good stress tip. And then before we actually talk about nutrition, I do want to talk about breakfast and snacks. A lot of kids, they want to take their food or they need to take a snack. One of the systems that I found that works really well is to dedicate one of your shelves in your refrigerator and one of your cabinets in your kitchen or your pantry to school lunches and snack stuff. And that way, if you're in a rush, you're not quite ready, you know on this particular shelf, this is the food or the snacks, or your kid knows that this is where the food and the snacks are. Also, same thing for the cabinet or your pantry. And even better, when your supplies start running low on that particular shelf, you know it right away. You can make a note to refill or go buy something else to replace it. You're not opening up the refrigerator, digging around, and going, oh my gosh, we're out of yogurt or whatever. You already know that if it's not on that shelf, then it's time to buy some new. So that's just another system that helps mornings go by easier and keeps you from having all that stress of running out of stuff.
That's a great idea, and it's a great way for kids to know where they can go. We have a snack drawer with things like granola bars and popcorn and just different healthy snack kinds of things. And then there's also a drawer in the refrigerator with string cheese and yogurt and things like that. So if it's a place they can go quickly to find those things. So that's a great organizational strategy. What about the whole lunch process and taking lunch?
Well, again, if you can be organized, and if you can do it at night, do it at night, or do as much as possible at night, and make your kids responsible for helping. You know, you are not your slave to your kids. You know, they can get off the TV, they can get off the video game, and spend 5 minutes helping you pack their lunch, or at least get it as packed as possible until maybe the last minute things need to be put together. You wouldn't necessarily want to put a peanut butter and jelly sandwich together the night before, because it would get goopy and sloppy and all of that, you know, by the next day. But keeping things, you know, paired together is really very optimal. Oh, and I had another thought, and it went poof. Come back to me, thought.
Well, when it comes back, just interrupt me or switch the tracks, and we'll head that direction.
Okay. Yeah, because it's gone. It went somewhere. I don't know where it went. But being able, you know, to have those things together, do it at night, get your kids involved, because, you know, so one, they just see you as a parent, they just see you as a person who, you know, has all the stuff for them, but it also gives them tools and abilities that they'll be able to use throughout their entire life as well. Also, you know, what are you feeding your child? Are you setting your child up for a good night's sleep by the foods that you're feeding them during the day? Are you setting your child up for a good day of learning by the breakfast that you're giving them in the morning or not? You know, or is it cereal only? Is there protein there? Are you giving them caffeine? Are they taking their vitamins? You know, what be thinking about and planning how you can create foods in your home that will feed your family all week long without having to be a slave to the stove every day. Now, you can Google quick breakfast foods. You can Google quiches, breakfast bakes, all kinds of things, things that you can make the night before, warm up, and they're perfectly wonderful.
And that's another good tip of things, especially I am not a morning person. I have first gear, which I've never verbalized to my son, although we've talked about how he's similar to his dad and how he's similar to me. My husband pops out of bed like toast out of a toaster when the alarm goes off, and I like the gradual slow wake up. And so I have my morning routine takes longer as a result, and I know that. But the things, if I can do things at night when I'm more alert, much better. And so I think honoring that what works best for you. There are others who they'd like to make their breakfast fresh in the morning, and, you know, and great. I like to be able to, you know, pull it out. If I can make it the night before, throw it in the crock pot and it's ready for breakfast. It's all the more efficient for me.
Yeah, there's things like overnight. I mean, go to my best friend Google and, you know, look for overnight or crock pot oatmeal. You know, you throw it in there at night. It's wonderful by in the morning. You can also throw eggs basically in anything and bake it for 30 minutes, and it turns into this wonderful casserole that kids love. So you can add turkey sausage. You can add bacon. You can add, you know, vegetables. My kids love to have the croissants on the bottom, you know, the ones that come in the roll, like the Pillsbury ones. You roll it out, put it on the bottom of the pan. You add eggs and cheese and sausage. You put it in the oven for 30 minutes. And miracle upon miracle, you have this most wonderful, yummy thing that is wonderful warmed up. You know, most of the time, eggs aren't very good when you try to warm them up. But this breakfast casserole is really yummy. You know, my kids are so incredibly active that I don't get highly stressed about the croissants on the very bottom of it. But if you are worried about your children's activity level and not wanting to give them the extra fat that comes in those croissants, don't go with the non-fat one, because they just add a lot more sugar to you know, cover up the fact that they took out the fat. But what you can do is you can get whole grain bread. So instead of putting those croissants down, you put maybe 6 slices of whole grain bread at the bottom of that casserole dish. You pour your eggs and your cheese and your turkey bacon on top of it. You still pop in the oven for 30 minutes, and it's perfectly wonderful. My kids do like the, you know, the Pillsbury ones better, but they really enjoy the other ones as well. And when I'm out of one, I substitute with the other. Really quick things that you can do is make some toast, slather on some nut butter, put some, you know, jelly or fruit, slicing up apples or fruit. That is a perfect breakfast, and it takes, what, a minute and a half to do. It's really yummy because it gives that really perfect, you know, they feel like they're eating almost candy sometimes because the fruit is so sweet. Or if you put a particular jelly, like my mom makes strawberry preserves, we'll add that on top of the peanut butter, and it's perfectly yummy. And it carries them through the morning, and it gives them that good boost of carb and protein so that their brains can work optimally.
And, yeah, absolutely, that important step about having the protein as well as some slow-burning carbs that will carry you through. One of the things that we like is to use the multigrain wraps and to do the same thing where you put the peanut butter, the fruit, roll it up.
Yep.
And then you're on the road. So you've still got your grain, you've got your protein, and you've got your fruit. And when in a hurry, those protein shakes.
My favorite.
You can grab a granola bar, but have a protein shake because they're in a hurry. And so, you know, having those alternatives so you're not in the rut that can happen also adds that variety to your breakfast. Or, you know, I'm not hungry in the morning. That's usually my son. I'm not hungry. So to help them understand, it's not about always about your stomach. It's about making learning easier, because you need the components of protein to actually help form new memories in your brain. So learning is harder without those building blocks. So having that some protein at mealtime absolutely is helpful when it comes to memory, as is having the slow-burning carbs so that you've got the steady sugar level. You don't get the spikes and crashes with your attention, which also makes a difference with learning.
Yes, and if your kid is not hungry in the morning, take a close look at how late they're eating at night. And you may want to have them not eat as late as what they possibly are eating. Now, some kids, just their stomach won't wake up. They just simply don't want to eat. But a lot of times it's because they're eating a snack at 8 or 9 or 10 o'clock at night. And so their stomach by 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock in the morning really hasn't emptied out completely. You know, when we're sleeping, our digestion slows. And, you know, it just kind of sits there and it kind of just, you know, hangs out for a while. So their belly hasn't truly emptied out. So if you do have that child that's not hungry in the morning, pay attention to what they're eating at night. You may need to block some of that out.
And that is a great tip for adults, too, is to look at how late you're eating dinner, because I know in training sessions and with clients that I've coached, that same conversation around breakfast, well, I'm just not hungry in the morning, or it's just not appealing to me to eat, and it's nauseating when I eat in the morning. And talking about some strategies for, well, what can you do? You don't have to have a 3-course breakfast.
Right. And my favorite go-to, you know, I rarely eat real food for breakfast. If we have one of those breakfast bakes, I may take a tiny bit of it, but I am more careful of those croissant things when I try not to eat them. But I will do a protein shake just about every single morning in my life. And I love to mix it up with my coffee. So I'll have, you know, half a cup of coffee. I'll add some milk and some protein powder to a shaker cup. And I'll shake that up. Never, ever, ever, and trust me, this is from experience, never put your protein powder into your coffee and then try to shake it because it goes boom and explodes.
I'm sorry, I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at the visual you just created.
Oh, Albany, New York, hotel room, hadn't brought all of my supplies, the little coffee makers in the bathroom. I think, I'll just shake this up. Boom, on the ceiling, on the mirror, on the shower, all over me. I had to change clothes. I felt really stupid. That was my dumb moment for sure. But I just like to tell people because I didn't know, so maybe someone else will neither or didn't think about it.
Well, and again, we don't know. If you're not used to doing that, if you had your routine is that you mix it beforehand, well, yeah, what would be the problem? We put dry creamer in that doesn't seem to explode. So sharing
too.
That will help some of us. Yeah, I have not given out our call-in number. So if we have people who are listening live, that if you have a question or a particular issue for yourself or with your kids and would like to check in with Lynette, the number to call is 347-215-8390. Or you can also type in a question. There's a chat window open, so if you are connected with us through Blog Talk Radio and want to chat, you're welcome to do that as well. I know a number of my regular listeners download the podcast, are not necessarily participating live. So while we're on that subject, Lynette, if somebody listens to this later and has a question for you, what's the best way for them to connect with you?
The very best way for them to connect with me, and apologies for this being a long email address, but you can email me at Lynette, L-Y-N-E-T-T-E, at LynettePattersonCoaching.com. And maybe, Melanie, you'll be kind and precious enough to add that to the show notes because it can be fairly long. Or find me on Facebook.
The what I do have in the show notes is your name is a hyperlink to your website. So if they go to your website, I'm sure there's an email link there, right?
Absolutely, and there's a contact form there as well. So however, that's perfect.
Awesome. So, you know, too often we think that we have to struggle through these challenges on our own, or we think we're the only ones who are having these issues with our kids. And one of the things that I want to do with this show and with this series about, you know, brain boosters for success in school is to get information out to parents and to kids that it's not just you, that we have multiple levels of struggles because we're not born with a manual to our brain. We're not born with a manual for how to parent us. And so we learn by doing. It's a real life lesson, a real life test. And somewhere along the line, many of us got the message we have to do it by ourselves. And the good news is we can absolutely find resources to support us, like here on Spark, or with Lynette Patterson's coaching. And to recognize we tend to be more critical of ourselves than other people are of us because they're often relieved to hear, oh, my gosh, it happens to you too. I know that's how I felt when I was talking to Lynette because I thought she had it all together. She and I first met when she was we had bartered some programs between each other. I was helping her with discovering her passions, and she was helping me with health coaching. And we got to talking about our kids, and lo and behold, it wasn't just me. So, Lynette, would you like to add anything about that? Because I know you also have multiple clients who may be experiencing something similar.
Oh, my gosh, yes. You know, I think we do such a disservice to ourselves and to others by trying to do it all alone and not being authentic and genuine and saying, you know, hey, you know, I'm struggling here and I could use some help. Or by saying, you know what, I see what's going on there and I had the same experience. Can I share with you what worked for me? You know, we try so hard to have that sparkly, you know, superwoman cape on, you know, without a wrinkle, that we really lose the ability to connect really well and to get the help and support and the I'm not in this alone, you know, thought process that we end up having so often. So we, you know, we take our kids out in public and we pretend to be the perfect parent, and then we come home and we yell at them, and then we feel bad. You know, it's kind of the cycle of, you know, who am I? Who am I authentically? And we begin to have doubts and reservations. And in turn, those doubts and reservations make us give in to our children. You know, we yelled at them earlier, we now give in to them later. And they're confused. So by not being authentic, by not reaching out, by not asking better questions, we're really setting ourselves up and, you know, our kids up too for having more stress and more struggle in our lives.
So if you need an external voice to give you permission to ask for what you needed to ask for support, whether you, you know, Google and social media are great tools, as are there are video resources out there as well. Sometimes, though, talking to a human being is very different. It may have that last spark of what you need to help you connect the dots. And so I wholeheartedly agree with Lynette. It's absolutely a great idea to connect with people who can offer you options.
Mm-hmm. And who can look at things objectively, because sometimes we're our own worst enemies and we're so in the middle of our own way that we can't see a different way. So having, you know, sometimes our friends are not the best people to say, you know what, you're just completely full of bull crap right now and you need to stop and you need to do something different right now. Now, what's it going to be? And our friends tend to not do that. So being able to maybe hire a coach or get some other group assistance is very, very helpful. You know, a friend of mine decided that she was going to have her 17-year-old, almost 18-year-old, go to bed at 9 o'clock and have to turn in his phone. Well, and she thought that was a perfectly reasonable request. You know, I told her, and I had to be really honest with her, even though she's my friend. I said to her, gosh, I'm glad you're not my mom. And she had to stop for a minute and go, really? I'm like, yeah. At 17 years old, 18 years old, and I have to be in bed by 9 o'clock like my 7-year-old brother? Nah, never going to happen. And I had to snap her out of this comfort zone of, she was right, everybody had to follow her rules. And, you know, when everybody else in her life was going, yeah, you're the mom and he must do what you say. You know, kids aren't programmed to do what you say. They're programmed to become successful adults based on what you're teaching them or not teaching them. So that's my little thing on that.
Well, and I think that also makes a good point about, you know, fair does not equal same. That a lot of times when we have multiple children, and I have just one child of my own, and for 19 years worked with a program called Upward Bound. So I had worked with a lot of people's teenage children in grades 9 through 12. And the idea that, you know, fair means we treat everybody's in bed at 9 o'clock, that's fair. Well, by the definition of fair, you treat each according to their needs. Because
yeah.
You don't have the same expectations of a 14-year-old as you have of a 17-year-old.
Yeah.
And they're, you know what? And you may have a very mature 14-year-old and a very immature 17-year-old, so it may flip.
Yeah.
But, yeah, if you think about fair as being a four-letter F word and looking at a different, because, you know, my son's already told, well, that's not fair, Mom. Well, let's talk about what fair really means. And so, it doesn't mean that it's the same as everybody. It means that where are you right now? What's going to be most helpful? And for parents who were brought up with that from their parents, you know, everybody gets the same amount spent on them at Christmas. And I love my mother very much. And so her way of being fair was to try to spend the same amount on all seven of us growing up. And so it was like when I got older, it was like, Mom, it's okay, you know, not to spend the same amount on me as you do on my younger sisters. Especially when you got into college, whatever. So, but when you're parented that way, and that's the messaging you've learned, we don't have another model, unless you have that friend who says, "Whoa," or you know, you read or hear something about another option. that you have available. So this is my way of leading into not only the fair does not equal same from your story, also including the, you know, be gentle with yourself in this learning process, that mistakes are wonderful opportunities to learn. Put away your big, you know, plastic bat that you're beating yourself up with about not doing it right, and recognize that it's all about growing, changing, learning for us as parents as well as for our kids.
Absolutely. You know, and don't be afraid to say that you're sorry to your kids. You know, if you find it, you know, if you've set a new rule and you've had this team meeting and you've set your checklist and you've done this thing and it worked really great for the first 4 days and then you completely forgot about it for a week, then it's okay to go to your kids and go, you know what? I just completely goofed and I am so sorry. We made these plans, we had these things, and then I just fell off the charts. I'm recommitting, we're getting back together, and I'd love for you all to hold me accountable to, you know, following through on what I said I'll do too. You know, don't wear your parent hat so tight on your head that you're not willing to let your kids see that it's okay to fail, that it's okay to apologize, that it's okay to, that it's okay to goof. You know, it's a great opportunity to show them how to get back on your feet, how to recourse correct, and how to, you know, move on and forgive and, you know, live well.
That is such a powerful lesson, because otherwise often kids will see, oh, well, I messed up, that won't work, I'm done trying.
Yes.
And not looking for other options or other ways to achieve the same goal. So that persistence in pursuit of whatever that outcome is and being willing to try different things, those are powerful lessons. And when we get so busy as parents and we just sometimes forget that it does take time to have those conversations. It takes time to create the system. But that planning time, I should say, and that planning time that you invest up front is really what will help you to be more productive, to save more time on the other side. And Lynette, I know that's something that you also talk about as a coach.
Yes, it absolutely is. You know, forgive yourself, forgive others, forgive often, you know, move on, be persistent, keep trying, don't be afraid to fail, and, you know, put one foot in front of the other every single day, you know, doing your best and holding yourself to the same level of accountability that you want to hold your children.
I think we've had a great show. We've got about 2.5 minutes left. This hour has flown by, Lynette. So thank you so much for being here. And
so
in our last couple minutes,
oh,
thank you. In our last couple minutes, are there any final summary messages or highlights that you would like to share with parents about not only the success of getting back into school, but also just having more success as a parent?
Well, there is one particular tip that I had written down because this tip was very important to me in my life, and it has nothing to do with a morning routine and everything to do with an afternoon routine. I have found it very, very beneficial to spend 5 or 10 minutes with my kids going through their backpacks, making sure that there's not some surprise that's going to sneak up for me later. Now, this doesn't necessarily have to be homework time, or it could be, but if you will spend that 5 or 10 minutes, you know, saying, okay, how was your day? What do you have going on? What papers do you have for me? You're able to get those things done, you know, by the time they're out of school or you're off of work, and you don't get those last minute, I need to glue 100 buttons onto a T-shirt by tomorrow surprises at bedtime. So that's a great stress reliever. If you'll spend 5 minutes early afternoon making sure that you're not going to have any of those nasty surprises so that your evening can be nicer and more productive too.
That's a great point because I've been in that, here we are on the weekend before a project's due and he needs, and it's like, we don't have it. And to get to a store that has it is 15 miles away and, yeah, or the night before is worse. Well, you know, I need the glue stick and I need this, blah, blah, and it's like, oh my. So I would echo in that. I learned that lesson the hard way of trying to look at long-term projects ahead of time. That's another great tip. Lynette, thank you so much. I know that I will ask you back again to talk about other topics. And her website, again, is a link in the show notes. Just click on her name, Lynette Patterson, or you can go to LynettePattersonCoaching.com to connect with her, to email her. She's amazing when it comes to system creation. And, again, one of her favorite things that she didn't use tonight that I love is we're often on the wrong side of our own eyeballs to see solutions. So having that outside voice is great. So, Lynette, thank you so much for sharing with us, and I wish you the best of success continuing your positive start to the school year.
And thank you very much, and good luck to you and Alex and everyone out there listening to having a very positive, successful, and fun school year as well.
Thank you so much. And I will say that this next few weeks, I'm looking to connect with some of my brain-based training colleagues to share some tips and strategies about information organization, as well as and planning, depending on the ages of your kids, to give you some tools as a parent that you can use to help your kids be more successful, to truly boost their brain for success. Thanks so much for investing your time to be here. I hope you found some sparks that you can try to ignite a positive change in your life. As always, things will only work if you take action and try them. So please do that. And until next time, take great care of the only brain you have and stay safe. Bye for now.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Spark Radio with Miss Melanie. Please share this show link with those you believe would enjoy and benefit from listening. We invite you to join us for upcoming shows with special guests and more sparks. May a spark you heard ignite a positive change in your life. Good day.